testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And in keeping of them there is great reward.
Teaching today, he gives us life to overcome. He gives us life to overcome. And I'm basing our teaching today from the Gospel of John, John 16 and verse 33. John 16 and verse 33. He gives us life to overcome. And it's in the context of where Jesus reveals that he has overcome the world. He set his heart to the cross. He is in faith. He's virtually fulfilled his ministry, what the Father wants. And he knows what he is facing. And in verse 33, he says, "And these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And of course, he gives us the clue in verse 32, where he says, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." So he's speaking with regard to trial, to tribulation. He knows that the disciples are going to forsake him. They are not reliable at this point, but his confession is that he is with his Father. He says, "Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." He had come to that place to know and experience that he was one with the Father, and that whatever the trial and tribulation he was to encounter, nothing was going to separate him from that oneness that he had with his Father. And that is the experience we have to have also. Indeed, as I open this up, the Holy Spirit has come in which to impart that, the same as what Jesus, he was comforted, he knew this. So we likewise, when we meet our trials and tribulations, we know, like Jesus, that we are not alone. in this trial. And it's not simply words, it's actual, it is real, it's to be experienced, like all of these things in our walk. So that is what we're going to look at and hopefully understand. Now, I don't think we still fully understand and experience this as we should. That we're actually given his resurrection life when we're born again. It takes a while to learn these experiences. We don't just get it overnight. You see, when we go through a trial, tribulation, he's bringing us to a place where we're to experience that resurrection power. That power that raised Christ is also the power that raises us, sustains us, and keeps us. That's why the scriptures tell us we are kept by the power of God. These are not mere words. They are to be experienced. And that is why we're overcomers. And that is why also we go through trial and tribulation in order to experience this. It is very easy to speak these promises. It is very easy to read them in the Bible and to confess them and in our prayers and so on, all of which has a place. But God has to bring us into an experience of these very things that we read, that we pray about, that we hear through the preaching and the teaching. Otherwise, it's not going to make any sense. We're just simply going to have our heads filled with a load of theology and God's word. It has to be translated into an experience. The same type of walk that Jesus was experiencing with his Father, so we likewise experience the same, all of those who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, we are still seeing as though it's our effort. I've got to do something about it. I've got to endure through this trial. I've got to keep believing. I've got to continue confessing and all these things, which of course has a place, but it's not about us striving to do it. You see, we strive and then we wonder why we're suffering with fear and anxiety, which of course it opens the door into our minds. Now you see, that fear and anxiety, which is the enemy uses in tribulations and trials, is the very thing that he wants to get us delivered from. You see, the world is held in fear and anxiety. And when the world goes through trials and problems and so on, we see that fear, that anxiety manifest. No clearer sign than through COVID-19, we're seeing how the world is in such fear and such anxiety. And yet for the overcomer, for us, this is a means of us being delivered from that, which is what the enemy tries to hold us in. You see, fear holds you. It traps you. That is Satan's number one weapon. And if he can hold you in fear, he will also hold you in anxiety. And the anxiety is what affects you physically, mentally, psychologically. You see, he wants to bring your health. He wants to bring you down. He wants to afflict you. He wants to put that fear within you, the fear of getting cancer, or the fear of getting an illness, or whatever it would be. This is how these doors to infirmities are open. And of course, he uses news media, he uses things on the internet, he uses people in which to speak these things out. This is why very often when I hear this being said on the news or whatever it is, that two out of four are going to get cancer or whatever it is, I find myself rising up and rebuking that. That won't afflict, will not oppress people. I bind it, I take authority over it, because I know that is a demon speaking. That is the powers of darkness. And I wish to God more Christians were alert to this. We are still so easily led, duped by the powers of darkness, and we believe it. We take it on board, and before we know where we are, we're confessing it. And that is why God allows us to go through these trials and tribulations in which to get delivered. There's no other way. If there was another way, then God would provide that way. But much of our trials is in order that we get delivered, so that we experience the power of God in this situation. Because we cannot do it in ourselves, and yet we try to, and that is where we fail. And it affects our whole being. If you don't deal with fear and anxiety, that'll affect your blood pressure, it'll affect your health, you won't sleep properly. It's draining, and it's to try and bring you down, so that the enemy then can afflict you more and hold you like he does. And sadly, a lot in the house of God keep their minds open to these oppressions. And a lot of it is because of anxiety, overcoming trials, the fear that is attached to it. You see, this is why God allows us to go through these trials. And if a door is open, then that trial, which is tailor-made, is such a work upon you to start to bring about a deliverance, a closing of the door in the mind. What does it say in John 14 and verse 3? John 14 and verse 3. And he says, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we have a promise that in our trials, in our tests, and so on, that he's with us, he's going through it with us. But not only that, we're simply passing through. It's not going to be eternal. It's only going to be a season, because he's prepared a better place for you and I. Now that must become a reality. God wants to start, even in this life, to start to reveal to you that place that he has prepared for you. That is why seeking the kingdom of God, his righteousness, is so important. Because all these things will be added unto you. All that you read in the word of God. The experience that you read. So that they're just not mere words, just something that you read, but that you can look at it and say, I know that. That is my experience. He's revealing that to me. or I've been touched in that way, or I saw God's mighty hand, how he brought me through that trial. This is when the word of God then starts to become alive and real, and not a dead letter. That is what the Holy Spirit is working with us. It's still in the same chapter. Look at verse 23 and 27. The same chapter of 14 of John. Let's take it up at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." So there is a good, clear sign of a overcomer, a Christian, because they love the word and they want to keep God's word. They have a hunger for the word of God. There is a clear sign of God's people. And yet you get a lot who call themselves Christians, and it's just not that hunger to really hear the word, to take the word in, to listen to it, to make the effort if need be, to hear the word. It's just not with some. And it's so sad. And that's why they don't overcome. That's why they don't walk in that faith that God wants us to walk. And it goes on. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So there's your experience. In other words, he's going to bring the experience to you. He's going to cause you to remember. He's going to make the word of God alive as he is alive. It is not a dead letter. It's alive and living and all-powerful. It is that sharp-edged, two-edged sword. And he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And it goes on. So there we are. So everything that he does, the way he reveals himself, he always does it as the Prince of Peace. He leaves his peace, he leaves his blessing, he leaves his mark, in other words. Not that the world can give you any of this. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Let God deliver you from fear and anxiety and that unbelief, so that your heart will not be troubled, that you will enter into this peace, this rest that he has for us. And he does it through the overcoming life. He does it in our tribulations and our trials. What does he say also in John 16 and verse 7? John 16 and verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So the Helper, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And he says, "I will send him to you." He doesn't say, "I will send it to you." Him. Who is him? Jesus. "I'm coming back." The Holy Spirit, whom you are baptized, represents him in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your walk, in your confession, in your speech, everything. That is what it means. That is what it means to be born again. There are a lot who profess Christ, but they're not born again. This is what it means to be born again. You are a new creation. You are completely different. You don't walk and live and act anymore like the world. You're not bound by the world and its traditions and its bondages. You're just sojourners passing through. You don't fit in anywhere if you are an overcomer. In other words, you're not putting your roots down anywhere. You're not building a life in this world and planning and scheming. This is what Jesus said they will be doing when he comes. That is not what an overcomer does. Because we allow the Spirit to do that work within us. And that is why he allows us to go through these trials and tribulations in which to deliver us, so that we can experience this overcoming life and walk. So is this your experience? That's the question. Do I live by the power of that life that is given to me? That power, the power of God, the creator and maker of the heavens and the earth, is absolutely mind-boggling. You cannot even comprehend it. And yet that is the power that you and I live by and are preserved and kept. Why do we doubt? Because that is what it says. That power, his power, the very power of God, has come to take over your life and my life, and also in those trials and tribulations. And so the tribulations test this. This is the test. You have to be put to the test. Why do you have to be put to the test? Because these tests will tell you. They will be your experience. The same as when we go to school, we are tested at the end of the terms. Those tests are to reveal where you are, what you have learnt, what you've taken in, what you know and what you don't know. That is what tests are for. And God does exactly the same with us. And that is why we need to walk humbly, lowly before God, because then we can discern, we can hear what he tells us with regard to these tests. In other words, when you walk humbly before God, he's saying, this area needs to change in you. This isn't right. There's still unbelief here, and you're hearing it. And instead of getting all upset and offended, you find yourself saying, yes, Lord, do it. Remove it from my life. That is what the humble say. And yet, so many who profess Christ get all indignant and upset. And why? Because that's pride. And God can't do anything, because he says he resists the proud. So the proud don't get delivered. This is why we make so much of this, for this very purpose. And that's why he said back in 16 and verse 33 of John, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, you're in me. This is, note the words, you're in me, not in yourself, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Because you're in him and you have his peace, therefore you have tribulations. Because the world is trying to attack the one who lives in your life and in your heart. And that is why you'll hear, it's not you they're coming against, it is me. And there is the difference. There is the difference. It means I am being delivered in adversity and not from it. And there's the difference. I am being delivered in this adversity. I'm not being delivered from it. And so many Christians are confused. They're praying to be delivered from that trial, from that adversity. That is not what we pray. We pray being delivered in the adversity. That I will stand firm. That I will be faithful. That I will endure. That I will see it through. That I will experience the power of God in this trial for the season. That is what it means. And that's why when we think on those lines, we start to see, for example, the great Psalm 91, we start to see it in a completely different light. Verses 1 to 10 of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. There you are, exactly what we've just been talking about in these trials and tribulations. He's my refuge, He's my fortress, He's placed His hedge of protection around me. In God I'm going to trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. So He's going to deliver you. His promise. It may be hurting. It may be a real severe trial. But He says, I will deliver you from that. He shall cover you with His feathers. So there He is, it's the protection, just like a chick who preserves her chicken, the little chicks. She looks after them by spreading her wings out. And under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So the word of God that is true, there's no lie in it, will be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. So all of this that's going on, and these pestilences and diseases and wars that are coming and all the stuff that's going to happen, it's happening and it will continue. You will not be afraid. It's not going to touch you. Nor the arrow that flies by day. In other words, you may see some missiles fly over your head. But it isn't going to touch you. Nor the pestilence that walks in darkness. Nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. There we are, these diseases that are coming, more of them. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. There it is. That is the life of an overcomer. You see, adversity will come. And we shouldn't be surprised when it comes. It is going to come because God is going to test you in it. And those tests are going to tell you, but they're also going to encourage you in your walk. God never leaves it in a negative way. He will always turn it to the positive. And that's why there's nothing to fear. Because fear has torment. And this world is falling further and further into fear. And as you see fear increasing, which it is, the Bible says it will, And it is, you will see more torment, you will see more mental oppression, you will see more sickness and disease, and you will see more strange and abnormal behavior. All of these things are on the increase, because that is the nature of fear. It is tormenting. Now, I want to tell you something. Although we are overcomers, that's what we believe, and that's what we are, actually, he is the overcomer, not you. You're simply doing what he's telling you to do. You're simply doing what he has done, and how he has triumphed and overcome the enemy, overcome Calvary, overcome death. He's risen. He's seated now at the right hand of the Father. He is the one that's done it. We simply yield over and let him, the power of God, work that in and through us. And for us to know whether that is happening to us or not, we have to go through the trials and tribulations to see and experience whether his overcoming life is being emulated in and through me. That's what this is about. It's not about you trying to do it. It's about you believing and yielding over to the Spirit. Here it is again, obedience. That absence of resistance. Instead of resisting, just yield. And a lot of yielding is letting go, because we still want to be in control. Many have the wrong idea of living as a saint, and this is the problem. You see, the strength of the trial is where the Holy Spirit gives us that strength, which is his faith and his mercy. So whatever the trial, whatever strength that is needed in that trial, because you do need strength, the Holy Spirit is the one there who strengthens you, who quickens your faith, who ministers the mercy and the grace of God in that situation. Brothers and sisters, we can't go wrong. The reason we go wrong is because we start listening to the devil. We open our minds. But if we think about it, we actually can't go wrong. That is why when a trial comes, you can say to yourself confidently, yes, I'm going through this, but I have overcome this, because the one who lives in me has overcome this. No matter how bad this world is, no matter how bad it goes, I will come through this trial. Sometimes you have to just speak that. Sometimes you have to speak it to the powers of darkness. When you just feel down or oppressed or whatever it is. I know the mind could be a minefield. I know that is exactly where the enemy tries to attack and how vocal he can get. But sometimes you have to just rise up and you have to speak it out, the promises of God. You have to speak out that the one in you has overcome this. Else you wouldn't be going through it, I can assure you. Well, as we bring this to a conclusion, let's turn to Revelation chapter 2, the book of Revelation. Chapter 2 and verse 7. And this, of course, is the message to the church at Ephesus. And he says, he who has an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What is he saying there? Exactly what I have been saying right through this whole teaching. He gives his life. Exactly what he's promised here to the church. To those who overcome, to those who are going through trial and tribulation, I give you to eat from the tree of life. Who is the tree of life? The risen Lord Jesus. We eat of him. That is why we get that understanding when we take communion. We take of his flesh and his blood. We're one. We eat that manna. That manna is him, the living God, the living Word, made flesh. And here we are, we eat from the tree of life, which is where? In the paradise of God. And you're in the paradise of God by faith now. You're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is your home. That is what you're destined for. It isn't this life. And when we can get this one from our heads to our hearts, we'll begin to see this tree of life that even now we can start to eat of, even in this world, in this life. That is why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He gives us his life. It's our spiritual food in order to stand through tribulation and trial. That is why we're overcomers, brothers and sisters. And that is why God has given you the strength to overcome, to endure, to stand for today. The manna is for today. The eating of God, Christ, is for today. And if he tarries, then you will have fresh food for tomorrow. And that is how we walk. So I have the strength for today. I have the faith, the ability. The victory is always for God. It's about him. It's his victory. He's working that in you and me. That is why we give him all the praise and all the glory. That is why you're overcoming, you're standing by faith, and you're going through these tribulations and so on, is so powerful. It has such a witness, such a testimony. It's the power of God being demonstrated in and through your life. And people see it because they know that's not normal. They know that cannot happen in the natural. They know when they see that you're standing, trusting God by faith, not putting your trust in the arm of the flesh. People see that. And of course, the enemy's right there waiting to see you fall, because that's what he wants. But you don't, because you are kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so that is why, brothers and sisters, we go through these trials. He gives us life to overcome. Whatever you have been meeting or whatever you have been going through recently or today, he has given his life to you in order that we overcome. Why do we doubt it? Because the enemy will come and say, oh, you can't go through that. There's going to be a lot of pain involved in that. How are you going to be able to come through that? Or whatever it is. And we're all too quick to listen to him. Do you know why? Because he appeals to the logic. And that is why our minds have to be renewed. And they're renewed by the word of God, by the power of the Spirit. So there we are, brothers and sisters. It's a great, great deliverance. God is working with us. I don't know whether you're aware of it, but with what's going on now and in the world, I'm just so aware of such a work of deliverance going on in my life. It's like the power, the pressure is there, it's on. They're just things are happening that's outside my control. Outside my ability, even my thinking. It's just, I know it's God. You know it's Him. Because we experience Him. We know when He touches us. We know when He speaks to us. We know when He leads us and guides us and everything. And I don't always understand it, but I know it's Him. And He's leading, guiding, steering us. Because in the natural, now, it's like we walk in a minefield. But He's guiding our steps every way. How we need to stay so close to Him now. And to keep our eyes completely, totally on Him. And by His grace and mercy, we will. So there we are. He gives us life to overcome. He gives us life. It's not our effort. It's not us trying to do it. It's simply yielding over and allowing the Spirit to do it in and through us for His glory. Praise God. Amen and amen.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh.